gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony?
All right, everybody, welcome. This is the one we've all been waiting for. Episode 299, a.k.a. Helpful Snowball 2013, Part 2. Damn. If only I had, if I had queued up some sports music. That's what I really wanted to do. The final countdown is what's happening in the background. The countdown in the background. Let's see. Who is this guy? Not the power and the glory. There's this one guy. Yeah, Dave Robidoux. Here we go. It's what you've all been waiting for. Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2. Which begins in 3, 2, 1. Skip ad. That sounds like garbage on here for some reason. Let's try Path to Perfection. Here we go. I like this better already. Nope, I just changed my mind. I don't like that little beat in there. Doesn't matter. The point is, Dave Robichaux. The point is, it's Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2. And we have some participants. my computer's gone insane. So here's the deal. We've got some participants who, Jesus, this is going well. We've got some participants who are going to, who have entered already. I cannot do this and do this at the same time. I'm having the hardest time. I'm looking for this fucking guy, but I think I must be looking for the wrong guy. Oh, it's Robidoux, not Robichaux. That's the problem. All right, now we're back. There we go. Jesus, off to a great start. This is what you've been waiting for. I'm building the tension. So as you may know, if you've been listening, the way this works is we've got entrance into Snowball 2013. The winner of Snowball 2013 will be the sole possessor of episode 300 on vinyl. Poon Master Flex is making a sad face, which is probably because she did not enter Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2. Her sad face is getting sadder. We recently discussed the possibility of starting a blog basically called, like, Reasons My Girlfriend is Crying. This would be a good entry because she's not going to get to hear the 300th episode of my podcast. But some of my favorites included... because she threw a slipper at my head and it bounced off my head and went in the sink and she was worried it had gotten wet. And one I took last night, which was, my girlfriend is crying because she's anticipating me hitting her in the head with the last bagel in the bagel bag, and she wants me to do it hard enough that she won't be able to go to work the following day. So she's like anticipating it, like, just do it. But, you know, it was not my idea. So, how many entrants did we have? And, you know, this will ultimately, this episode will answer the question, whose dick do I gotta suck to hear that episode 2013? Now, you might want to guess how many entrants we have. If you guessed 50, you guessed too many. If you guessed 5, you guessed the right number that I anticipated. If you guessed 2, you guessed the actual right number. Thank God we had 2. I was not sure what I was going to do if we did not have 2 entries. But good news, we had 2 entries. So we're going to go through this part by part and do some scoring. And by the end of this episode, we will know who the real winner is. You know, who is the ultimate winner of Snowball 2013 Part 2. So we're going to start with the category called My Books. My Books. My Lovely Lady Looks. And we have 2 entrants who will go by the names Ian, who we all know. And the other entry is going by a pseudonym Dixie Wrecked, which took me a long time to figure out, actually. I didn't think anything of it, and then I was like, oh, I got it. So let's start with Ian in the books category. Here's how this worked. I have all the books that I've got up on the Amazons, and each one had 3 columns. Did you buy the book? Did you read the book? And did you review the book? So Ian, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So potentially 45 scores on here. Ian scored 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So that's a pretty hefty score right out of the gate. He also made sure to point out with a little arrow that he was a Kickstarter backer for Pete's exhaustive review of Model Land. So that's true, and I'm going to circle that, you know, as some further scoring as we go along. Let's see what Dixie provided. Now, this is kind of difficult to dig out of here. All right, Dixie. Oh, boy. This is not looking as strong. 19 points to Ian's 37. However, I would like to give her some credit because she did print out the sheet in color. You know, I did some beautiful highlighting in color. So it's got its full glory here. All right. So that's category 1. So far, we've got a clear leader, Ian. But let's move on to the next category, the scavenger hunt, to see where we come out. All right. So we'll start with, we'll just keep starting with Ian so that we keep it consistent here. Now, Ian's came folded in an envelope and Dixie's came in a nice box. So that's something. All right. First item was a chick tract. If you don't know, these are the religious tracts that kind of make us realize that God is great. Now, Ian printed out a chick tract from the internet. And this is something, if you've known how he likes to play the games, which is to skirt the rules, right? He likes to play... Whenever you play a game, the rules have to be very solid, because otherwise, it's not going to work. But here's the good news about a snowball. I make the rules, and I make them as I go. I am not counting this chick tract as valid. Sorry. Stub from a movie that is less than 5 stars on IMDb. Now, that's a 5 out of a possible 10. I do have a stub here. Now, this is also a printed stub. However, it is proof that he purchased a movie stub And I can see his email address at the top. So apparently Ian went to see Fantastic Four at, you know, midday, 12:30 showing. So, Fantastic Four, the remake. The remake no one wanted that resulted in the movie that no one wanted also. So that I'm going to give a little star here. I've got my red pen out. I'm grading this because I am a professor of this contest. Next, we have an arcade prize ticket. There are two tickets in here, and it's from Peter Piper Pizza. Peter Piper picked a peck of pizza. So that's good. We've got a laser tag scorecard. Now, again, the rules have been a little bit violated because this scorecard is blank. And he even wrote on the bottom, "Didn't say I had to play!" Exclamation point. However, he did fill in most of the things. On his code name, he wrote in Ian Dirk 69420. Game, he put a Colorado wrapper. He used I-beams at a ratio of 110% and was ranked number one. Your team is I Am a Team. It said bases. He put loaded. Team score zero. And his score was one followed by, looks to be about 24 zeros. Am I going to count this one? I'm giving this one half credit. The reason being, it's not a filled out laser tag scorecard. However, he did fill out the things manually, so I appreciate the effort. Next is a weird page ripped out of a book, and the part I'm supposed to read was to be highlighted. Now, in this one, he went whole hog, because these are actual book pages. So this is not even, you know, photocopied or anything. And this looks to be from something called Happy Cruelty Day, and an entry dated September 7th in the Baby Cemetery Day. I have no idea what this is, but I will read it out loud to you now. You never look at me. I only know that because I look at you a lot. You smile and take a sip from your cup of beer, spilling a bit from your lips. It seems all night long you haven't been able to take a sip without spilling a bit down your chin onto your shirt sometimes. You wipe this spill away with the back of your hand because you're going to have to try to kiss her soon. I thought you liked Lisa for a while. She pours some beer onto the grassy grave of Jessica Hoyle, 1975 to 1978. No, you did like Lisa. You do. But Lisa's had the same boyfriend since sophomore year, and Lisa's not here telling you she looks at you a lot. I hate beer. She pours some more of her cup into the grass. Just being here is so horrible. Why always the baby cemetery? You take it. And suddenly it's becoming clear why this was here. You take another sip and wipe your chin with the back of your hand. More trees. Cops can't see us from the street. Less chance of getting raided. She says, it's like nothing we do here is disrespectful because the very fact that we would ever even come here and put a keg down on one of these graves is so disrespectful, we can't top it with our behavior once we're here. I don't think of it as any different, you say. Every grave, no matter how old or how they died, everyone met the same fate. Everyone here stopped. Take a sip and wipe your chin, then say to her, I look at you. She'll hold her eyes straight ahead and smile. Her cheeks are big and fat like a baby's when she smiles, like she'll be smiling now. Her free hand will be in the grass next to your leg. Take a sip and slip your hand over hers. You'll both race your thumbs on top of each other, down into the crook between thumb and forefinger, then back up and over. She'll only turn her head to you when you lean over and she meets your kiss. Put the beer in the grass by your side and put your hand on her shoulder. Then put your other arm around her back. She'll follow suit, pulling you toward her. Move to your knees and she'll recline so that you can climb atop her, the two of you stretched across the graves of Mae Franklin, 1989 to 1989, Martin Gans, 1963 to 1969, and of course, Jessica Hoyle, 1975 to 1978. Happy in the Baby Cemetery Day. So there we go. That was an excerpt where it appears that a couple is getting it on in the baby cemetery. Weird page ripped out of a book. Highlight the part I should read. I'm going to give that a star. Receipt from the purchase of Preparation H suppositories. Now, I believe there is a receipt here.
Hold on.
However, the receipt is for Preparation H wipes. A wipe is not a suppository. If we're playing by the rules, now part of the point of this game was to normalize the purchase of items that some of us might need to, you know, get our shit together, as it were. And this did not help as much as it needed to. So there you go. Did you know? I did not know that Safeway receipts divided, so it's got grocery, general merchandise, meat, and produce are all separated. Now, I think that this receipt, based on what I'm seeing here, is the shopping receipt that also resulted in a lamb stew that I heard was quite delicious. So, you know, we didn't win on the Preparation H front, but we did win on the food preparation front. Preparation F. F being for food. No points. And the last category was a highly offensive sticker, which did not show up. So, we've got basically 3.5 points on that category. And now we're going to move into Dixie's entry to the same. Chick Tract was a no. Stub from a movie that is less than 5 stars on IMDb. Let's see. I don't know what this is. Oh, okay. There's a letter that goes along with this. Dear Helpful Snowball, after searching the last 10 years of ticket stubs, I couldn't find one below 5 stars. However, I request partial credit for A Dirty Shame, given it's entirely devoted to portrayal of sexual paraphernalia and fetishes, and that it was rated NC-17. It seems entirely within the spirit of the competition, despite its 5.1-star rating on IMDb. Oof. Thank you for your consideration. P.S. I also saw Choke in theaters. That should get me all the way to full credit, shouldn't it? Really a lot of playing around with the rules here. I also enclosed the product that has basically solved my problems with irregularity and constipation, Natural Calm, Metamucilus for chumps. P.S.S. Whatever you do, do not drink an entire packet of Natural Calm at once to start. Start with 1/4 teaspoon twice a day. Go up from there. If you start with a whole packet, expect diarrhea. Oh, and this says dramatization. There's a brown streak going across the envelope. So, this is a picture of diarrhea. So it's kind of almost like an envelope sealed with diarrhea, if you will. Can you imagine that if you were like, you know how you'd see someone like a secretary doing a bunch of envelopes and they'd have like a little water thing that they could dip their finger in and then do the envelope? What if it was just a nice little inkwell of diarrhea and I was just sealing all? By the way, this is probably a good time to say that you can get my print newsletter if you donate to Patreon. So while I'm on the topic of considering sealing an envelope with diarrhea, there you go. Oh, and we've got Dirty Shame and Choke in here. So there you go. All right. All right, I'm giving that credit. Full credit. Arcade prize ticket. Let's see. Oh, and there's Natural Calm here. I'm glad I read that first because I probably would have not done it. Okay, we've got an arcade ticket. Laser tag scorecard, not to be found. Weird page ripped out of a book and highlighted. Now, this is a comic, a single panel comic. It says 9, mist that will keep you outside the winner circle. No pain, no gain, right? And it shows a guy in a full body cast. So there you go. He's in a full body cast and also has that thing where he's got like a sling He looks kind of like a ninja made out of mummy. And a cat laying hilariously on his bed. So, that'll do. That'll do. Now, this is a receipt for purchase of Preparation H suppositories, but what I have here is Preparation H totables, irritation relief wipes. So not only is this not a receipt, but I think this product may have been the product represented by the other receipt. I suspect foul play. So I am not scoring that on this sheet, and I'm also deducting 2 points from this other sheet. So now he's got a 1.5. So I hope you're satisfied. Hope you're happy with yourselves. Nice fucking try. All right? My butthole may not work, but my brain does. And there's no highly offensive sticker. I did not receive any highly offensive stickers. Not sure what I was hoping for, but I know I didn't get it. So she scored 3 to Ian's 1.5. So it's anyone's game at this point. And we will move on to our next category, which is the playing of a helpful snowman clip. Let's see. We're back with Ian here. And we're looking for Helpful Snowman Radio episode 245. So we're going to have to go back in time. Back to the past, back to the what's the opposite of the future? The past. Okay? We got this figured out. So we're just scrolling. I know this is exciting. 242, 43. This is a problem. We have 47. 46 has a title. And I'm assuming that 245 is the one where we ate Korean food and other weird foods. What are other countries thinking with their signature foods? Gonna have to assume that this is the one we're talking about. So, this is 245, titled Just Like Korean Mom Used to Make. And we're going to the 3130 mark. So here we go. What an exciting moment this is for everyone. This also, I had the special guest Jamie with me.
Just pretty steam much. Coming out go. Or whatever. The machine that Donatello was working on. An introduction to Ninja Turtles, which is like a full room computer that's a coffee maker, and it's just steam.
And we're starting.
I want
in
to
about
see what the funny
seconds.
Looks like before it's actually cooked. I mean, is it like a ring machine, like, or is it what is it that like makes
a batter?
Do they purposely make those different sizes? Because you know those aren't real onions.
No.
So they must like it must be designed to look or have different sizes, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, why are they not all uniform?
Totally.
Yeah. But you're right. Like, I do wonder, okay, these don't look uniform, but is it because they have 8 different, you know, they're like,
exactly.
Okay, today we're making smalls, tomorrow we go up, and
that's
then we
what I mean.
Mix them together.
Right.
Yeah, because, like, Doritos aren't all exactly the same. Like, some are more curled and whatnot. But you know what it's like. You know how if you get chicken nuggets at McDonald's, there's 2 shapes. There's circles and boots.
Right.
And it does, I do wonder, like, because they mash up the chicken, right? And then remold it.
Or what we think is chicken, yeah.
Yeah. And so obviously what they're doing is molding it into these 2 different shapes so that I'm fooled into being like, this is food.
Otherwise
this
it looks like you're eating some kind of industrial art project, right? It's just this.
Yeah, like it's a perfect sphere
right.
of chicken.
Right. I remember when they first came out with chicken McNuggets, they had like a guy who was supposedly a chef on TV saying how he had created this like delicacy, and people went ape shit. They went ape shit over these things. I remember eating just bucket loads of this shit and going, these are so good.
Yeah. Oh, when I worked there, they still had, you could buy, limited times of the year, they had a 100 pack. So you could like have a chicken nugget party, you know?
You know what always tripped me out about them? They weren't nuggets. They were almost like, they were like flat. They were like angular.
Yeah.
They weren't like Chick-fil-A nuggets. They were like, it was like a flattened out something with, you know, they had like a ridge around it.
Yeah. The side. They had like a texture, but that also seemed
right. Fake. Kind of a foamy, dense. It was like eating like a, you know, pasta perfect bed or something in little bite sizes.
Yeah. It's the strangest food. It is like if they hardened latte foam somehow and then coated chicken in it.
Right.
This is like the most disgusting description of, I was just talking smack about shrimp chips, but then I'm like, I mean, how many fucking nuggets have I eaten in my life and never even.
Totally. And then we're going to step it up because talking about disgusting, we're going to try Marmite.
Okay. I'm not excited about this.
You've had Marmite. And then we ate the Marmite. So here was the thing. The thing was pick an episode between 201 and 299 and give me a clip to play and discuss. No more than 5 minutes. Oh, it seems so long ago. So this was September 11th, 2015, was the 14th anniversary of 9/11, and it was my personal Marmite 9/11. That shit tastes like shit. Every country has its challenge food, and I don't know what America's is, but I can tell you that Marmite is a tough one to beat. Marmite is salty. Salty as a merman's dick. I'll tell you that right now. Eating Marmite is like having an evil merman come in your face. And the only way to get it off of your face, it's stuck in your mustache. You have to use your tongue to get rid of it. And it's so salty. And you even become distracted from how gross it is because it's just so salty. That the grossness of it being cum is not matched by the fact that it's just so salty. It's the only sensation you can experience is salt. There's no room left in your brain for the grossness. When there's no more room in hell, Marmite will come in your face. Well, all right, that's a success. I'm calling that a success. Points awarded. Now we're going to move on to Dixie's clip, which is from a nearby episode, episode 241. And we're going to go to about 39 minutes in and play about 5 minutes, which is the maximum amount. So, you know, let's hope this is a good use of your time. I already made this once. So if it's not, I mean, I don't know, fuck you. I guess you got to listen to it twice.
If you cared about laws and zoning that much, why would you even be here? Wouldn't you just be like, I'll just, make a house. Or I don't know, just buy a house that exists, tear up the entire inside and build a tiny house inside that house. But I don't know. It's like, tell a fucking joke once in a while. How about that? I have an update from my work refrigerator. That's always a fun topic for me. We have this refrigerator at my work. And in general, it's a total shit show. And the other day, my boss was cleaning it out and pulled out a tiny baggie. One of those Ziploc bags that's not the sandwich size, but like 1/5 the length of that, but the same width, right? That you're like, I don't know what goes in here. One cheese stick or something? Because I bought, can you even buy those not individually wrapped? Does that bag even have is it just for weed? Is there any other reason for that size? She pulls out this bag that size. It's got two tiny little strawberries in it, and they're like moldy and they're done. Now, presumably, there were other strawberries in this bag, and this just infuriated me. to no end. Because what happened? You're sitting there, you brought 8 strawberries to work, you have 6, and then you're like, boy, am I stuffed. I couldn't possibly eat 2 strawberries and finish this off, or just throw them away. I cannot throw these away. Can you imagine what? Later on, I'll tell you what's going to happen, because I've been down this road. I'm going to eat these strawberries, I'm going to throw these other 2 away, and then later I'm going to be hungry, and then I'm going to be like, motherfucker, if only I'd saved those 2 I could be eating those 2 strawberries right now, I'd be full, I'd be satiated, everything would be, if only I'd saved those 2 strawberries. Are you fucking kidding me? This tiny little thing, just eat it or don't eat it. Don't put it in the fridge because you're going to forget. You're going to just leave it there. The things people will put in a fridge at a workplace are unbelievable. You know, there was like a stump of a burrito that was in there for weeks and it wasn't even wrapped all the way. That's like a good sign of if you put something in the fridge, you can't even be bothered to like, there's already foil around it. All you have to do is cover the opening. You can't even be bothered to do that. Obviously, you don't really want that burrito that badly. That is not something that you... Do you just not want to throw food away, but you don't want it? You're just like, well, this way I don't throw it away, but someone else will throw it away. Are you kidding me? What are you doing? I just wish I would love to invent a fridge that's for offices, and here's how it would work. Every Friday at 5 a.m., it just zaps everything in the fridge, and it's all gone. Or it tips backwards, and you know, all the stuff just slides off the shelves into a garbage pit. And it's like, whatever you have, every week, it just empties itself, and we start again. Because you don't need to bring all this stuff from home. This isn't your home fridge. This fridge is meant to keep one day of food good for one day. It is not meant for like, well, I'll just have all my stuff in here and whatever. Whatever. I mean, sometimes it goes bad, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get how that happens. I mean, yeah, I've left stuff in there for like 2 weeks. And then I see it in there, I get horribly embarrassed, and I throw it out. Stupid. And when I leave something in there, by the way, it is not one strawberry, or it's not like, well, this is the container I ate my lunch out of, and I'm going to just leave it in the fridge all day, because where else am I going to put it? I don't know. Where would you put it? Think about it. You're a grown-up. This is what sucks about this. I work with all grown-ups, almost all of whom have at least a 4-year degree, if not more. And somehow we cannot figure out how to operate a fridge together. We can't figure out how to use a collective fridge and make that happen. You know what I mean? Oh, the dream is dead. The dream of collective... Ayn Rand is spinning in her grave. Which I guess she's buried in with probably 10 other people, because, like, why waste a grave on one person? If we shared a grave, everything would be much better. I do have one other really important announcement to make today.
Well, too bad, because that's over.
Well,
stuck it to Ayn Rand in that clip. That's always a plus. I do have a fridge update, more amusing than angry this time, but... So somebody, we have a dry erase board on the fridge, which is mostly for people to put up things that they think we should have in our work kitchen that I almost never think we should have. You know, it's like someone needs to go buy more ibuprofen for the first aid kit. And I'm like, and that comes up, it seems like it's on there every other month or so. And I'm like, you know, this is not like a private stash of narcotics, you fucking drug lords. But... So somebody put up on there, what is your favorite snack? Just seemed like kind of a generic thing. And so somebody said, you know, the next one, haha. And somebody said something else. And somebody put, some kind of Baja mix from the Mountain Man. Now, Mountain Man is like a snack delivery thing. I don't know if that's like a local thing or what. But so they put, you know, such and such from the Mountain Man, which was a little weird because it was like, that's awfully specific, but okay, fine. Then somebody puts, I like Gardetto's. And the person who put, I liked Baja Mix from the Mountain Man said, you should try such and such from the Mountain Man. Much fresher and better flavors. And then somebody else put something on there. And then this person again wrote, do we need to have a visit from the Mountain Man? And I was like, who the fuck is selling food from Mountain Man at this point? And am I to believe, is this like a marketing scheme that you're pulling on your coworkers? Just bring the fucking food and people will eat it. Or just put an order form out and we can all politely ignore it and then move on. And at some point, I apparently found out that before it had said, do we need a visit from the Mountain Man? Someone else had written on it, who is selling Mountain Man on this board? But that was erased and replaced with, do we need a visit from the Mountain Man? So whoever's selling Mountain Man, I'm on to you. Okay? And we'll keep everyone updated as the story develops. So there we go. We had two successes there. Now, we had some failures on both. Navigate your internet browser software machine to internetarchive.org. Select a piece of archived material to be featured on the show. Both failed to do so. We did have one score for Dixie, which was not scored by Ian, which was to give your answer to the Halloween secret question. I received, how many of those do you think I received? If you're thinking the exact number that I received for Helpful Snowball, you'd be correct. Although it was from one different person. So Dixie's got a point there. Ian does not. Now, we did get Dixie did not give me a phone call. However, Ian did give me a phone call. So let's see if we can pull this up. Now, the task here was call this number and leave an entertaining piece of audio for the show. So I'm going to have to see if I can just pull this up real quick. I think I can, but I don't know. Oh, and it's got a text version, but can I listen to it? How do I listen to it? Voicemails. This message has been marked as read. Don't mark this as read. Here we go. And hit play.
Well, I hope this is the right number, but here it goes. I'm going to leave some fan fiction / fiction. I'm going to do a dramatic reading of Wario Cross Caillou, and that's going to be Ian's entry into Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2. So here we go with Wario Cross Caillou. It was 2:56 p.m. Caillou was walking home from school. When he stepped off the bus, something caught his eye. It was Wario. Caillou had never seen something so beautiful in his life. Caillou walked up to Wario and said, "Hello." "Wah!" Wario questioned. After hearing Wario's soothing voice, Caillou could not resist any longer. He jumped up and kissed Wario. Wario was surprised, but aroused. Wario fought back with his tongue. Caillou wasn't sure what he was doing, but he enjoyed it. He did the same. Wario let out a moan and fell to the ground. Caillou soon fell too. Wario took off his clothes. Caillou saw his first glimpse of Wario's thick, hairy, oversized cock. Caillou almost stopped, but it felt so good. He took off his clothes too. His little boy penis was also shown. Wario saw Caillou's penis and was pleased. He grabbed it, and... well, to hear the rest, vote Ian in Helpful Snowball 2013. Part 2.
Oh, see, that's a trick. If you want to hear the entire flash fiction, fan fiction, you have to, I guess, vote Ian. There's no voting process, so I don't know what that means, but fair enough. There were some pretty great translations here. Like, it does seem like maybe slash fiction online is created this way. by a voice call that's then converted into text really poorly. For example, how you walked up to Wario and said, "Hello, why Oreo questions after hearing Wario's soothing voice?" Or, "He jumped up and kissed Wario. Oriole was surprised but arrived. Where are you, fuck back with his tongue?" And so on. So, definitely going to have to give full credit on that one. We had a challenge to do a grave rubbing. One has a drawing of a penis with very tiny balls. One has a no, but the cemetery said no. Note, the grave rubbing is illegal in some jurisdictions. Uptight. Uptight jurisdictions. We also had... flipping over to the backside. Now, we had a thing on the backside, which was one of those things of, you know, you're going to have someone mow your lawn, and it's like, here, I'm going to hang up this poster and tear the little strips off it, right? That whole thing. We had one of those, except it said, "Why don't you listen to Helpful Snowman Radio?" And the reasons were things like, you know, "I'm an idiot," "I'm an asshole." One just said Obama, so on and so forth. And the requirement was to provide a picture that showed that this was hanging somewhere. I got a picture from Ian of this hanging amongst other posters. Not only did I get this picture, but I got one about a week later showing that the thing was still up and someone had taken one of the other tabs. So we're spreading the word very slowly and very badly, but obviously that's full credit. And from Dixie, I did not receive an entry, unfortunately. Let's move on to the, you know, we've got a visual round, a fan art. Dixie drew a nice picture of a Superman dick butt. So that's always welcome. Ian's picture is of a snowman with a cape. And it looks like a volcano. Helpful snowman versus the volcano. And then someone says lava, his only weakness. And someone else says, well, that and bullets, colds, constipation, too many beers, cat fur, cat hair, cats, trees, John Goodman, wine, holidays, his own teeth, and happiness. So full credit to both on that. Let's move on to the final part of this whole thing, which is the contest of the poop story. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, here we go. Sounds like Super Mario Galaxy. All right. So we've got two poop stories. We're gonna lead with Dixie, and then we'll go to Ian's. So here we go. Backstory: I am also very irregular. I generally never know when it will occur or what kind of poop it will be. The enclosed product has helped a great deal, however. Story: a couple of years ago, I became very constipated without realizing it. One day I sat on the toilet and strained, but nothing happened. I was able to determine that there was a large, solid bolus in my colon. I strained harder and tried a creative technique, but to no avail. Sweating, I began to worry that I may need medical attention. Finally, I gave in and stuck a finger on my butt, sliding it between the bolus and the wall of my colon. I then manually removed pieces of feces from the bolus until it was small enough to pass. The song is called Building a Champion, but I think we should just skip to the next one, which is called Never Relent, because I think this is the most appropriate reaction to that. Let's move on to Ian's. Here we go. I was walking home. I just had a coffee drink with milk, but I didn't know I was lactose intolerant yet. As I walked along, I felt a pressure. I went for the fart, but it wasn't a fart. It was a stream of poop. I had crapped myself. I had shorts, so there was shit on my visible legs. I walked faster. I was at the corner next to my house when a cop car slowly pulled up and observed me. I quickly ducked into my house and the cop drove off. The shorts and underwear were gone. This was about 3 years ago. Once again, hero. All right. Well, it's time. It's time to make an announcement of the winner of Helpful Snowball 2013. I just want to thank everyone who entered. I'd like to thank everyone who entered. I'd like to thank all the people who entered. Everyone else can go fuck themselves. Okay? Everyone who didn't have the time. Boonmaster Flex is gesturing at me like, what the fuck? Because she's like, doing work right now for her job. But, she can't go fuck herself. I'd prefer she didn't. That seems to be satisfactory. So, I'm going to cue up a drum roll here, and we're going to announce the winner. This is a 10-hour drum roll, so maybe we'll just announce it before. I briefly considered, what if I let this run for 10 hours and then, announced it at the end, but I'm not going to do that. I feel like whatever that was, like a minute, is good enough to build the tension and to be a little fuck you, because that's how I roll. So we have a runner-up, and the runner-up is going to receive a prize. I know I said that there would be one copy of this, one person who is the holder. However, the consolation prize is that I'm going to get online, and I'm going to create a Soundwave art with the Soundwave from episode 300. So although you won't actually have the audio, you'll have a nice visual representation of it. So that's something. And that goes to all entrants. So one person. However, the winner of Helpful Snowball 2013, Part 2, is... Ian. Ba-ba! While the entries were good, while both were valiant efforts... I had to admit to myself that Ian had scored a lot of points in the book category, but also had finished more of the tasks. And we got the phone call, we got the hanging poster. And while I would have liked the prize to go to the truest fan, who I don't know if that's Ian, the rules are the rules, right? However, I may revoke this prize if this calming drink, makes me well. Anything that would make me healthy, I'm into that. So, congratulations to Ian. We've answered the question, whose dick do you gotta suck to listen to Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2 prize which is episode 300, which is going to be committed to wax right now. That whose dick do you gotta suck thing doesn't apply to Poon Master Flex, because that's gross. I don't care. I don't care. You can't do it. You're ineligible to win the prize in that way. That's weird and gross, and I'm upset that you suggested it. So there you have it. Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2. We went out with a bang and a whimper. So suck it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back with episode 301. And if you want to hear 300, don't talk to me about it. Talk to Ian about it, because he's the one you're going to have to get it from. All right. See y'all next time. Here's to 300 more. Yeah, maybe 150. Let's not get crazy.